In its 37.6 square miles of exhibition, about 460,000 works of art compete for attention, all made by the greatest masters that ever lived. These works have been gathered to give you the opportunity to enjoy the diversity and depth of human artistic production. It's an experience that stays with you, and its intensity reflects on your everyday life. But the sheer accumulation of exceptional works can be overwhelming. This has to be avoided, as the greatest productions of history make no sense if not enjoyed by the living. This audiobook is designed to prepare your visit with the necessary elements for depth and meaning. After, we will look at the collections. The Louvre encompasses all of art history in the West from the Middle Ages to 1848, with a few later exceptions. It puts Western art into context by presenting it alongside the art of civilizations that predated and inspired it. Egyptian and Near Eastern antiquities are witnesses of the beginnings of civilization. The Etruscan and the Greek shaped the art of Rome and gave us philosophy. The Louvre also exhibits the art of the first Christians along with the jewels of Islamic civilizations. This encyclopedic approach is the trademark of the Louvre and makes it unbelievably important. To visit the Louvre is to be physically confronted almost with the whole of history through time and space. This gives depth to your own life because, as a descendant, you bear the influence of all the cultures that developed, fought, and gained from one another. To help you feel closer to the greatest witnesses of this history, we will attempt to give you some perspective on some of the most famous works. We hope that this will help you connect with them in a deeper way, instead of the foreignness the austere environment of a museum can generate. We will present you with clear insight on the essentials of the Louvre, like the Victory of Samothrace, as it was recently restored, the most famous paintings of Delacroix, and the Mona Lisa, of course. We will also come across a few others that are a bit off the beaten track, but fascinating. The last section will provide you with some tips, information on the museum itself, and all the advice you need to have the best possible experience. Let us first understand how the Louvre has come to be such a focal point in Paris. It hasn't always been the museum we can see today. In fact, before a political earthquake changed everything, it was never meant to be a museum at all. But the building itself had to go through a step-by-step evolution, and its marks are still visible everywhere. For 800 years, each ruler of France made an essential contribution to the Louvre, rethinking the building according to the political context. This is how it came to represent a condensed history of France, along with a collection of the dominant architectural styles of many periods. In that sense, it is also part of the Grand Exhibition. The name of the Louvre dates from the Middle Ages and was never changed. In 1190, King Philip Augustus built a fortress on the right bank of the Seine because it was the most exposed point in case of an invasion. The downstream zone of the Seine had always been the preferred route of enemies since the time of the Vikings. The huge fortress consisted of a high dungeon protected by a moat and a square outer wall. 10 round towers surrounded the wall to ensure archery coverage of every square foot around it. The big tower was called the Big Tower, and the fortress itself was called the Louvre. The origins of the name are unclear. It could either have meant a place where there are wolves, or have been a deformation of an ancient French word meaning watchtower. The square fortress was situated in the southwest quarter of what is now the Cour Carré, or Square Courtyard. It was a very impressive work of military architecture. It contained the king's treasure, his arsenal, and his archives. For this reason, it became a symbol and center of monarchic authority. All of the successive kings and rulers would then make a point of honor of making the Louvre bigger, better, and more impressive. In the late 14th century, the king was Charles V the Wise. Civil unrest in Paris prompted him to put the thick walls of the fortress between his person and the angry mob that could rise up from day to day. He was the first to use the Louvre as his personal residence.